Hi, I'm Ken Carroll. These recordings are provided by ChinesePod.com.
This is a Learning 2.08 conference podcast. This and all conference conversations recorded live in September 2008.
Probably very connected at home, you know, besides here at school. So I battle with all those literacies then, not just reading and writing and math, but also 21st century skills, because they're not going to get it anywhere else. You know, you'll hear David Warlick and a lot of the other presenters talking about how connected kids are. But, you know, I don't think that's really universally true, and I don't think they always really understand as fully as we think what all those connections mean, and aren't always as good at it as we think as far as using it for learning. But I just always wonder where my students will be if they do well enough in high school and they're able to go on to college. How are they going to do in those classes if they don't have basically any background in these skills? And it really has become a new literacy. I mean, it's something that I think you've got to have a certain level of literacy in using technology. I don't think you do that by teaching technology classes. I think you do that by, I mean, you don't teach scissor cutting classes or how to use a pen or pencil beyond in kindergarten, first grade, you know, showing kids how to hold it, and certainly they have to think a lot about using that pencil, but unless you do handwriting stuff anymore, you know, you're not spending time on that. And, you know, this is just a tool also, so it's kind of the same thing. What do I need to know right now to do my learning? Yeah, I was going to say, you know, 20th century skills in school were using paper and glue and scissors and the kinds of things you did to show what you knew is you cut things out and glued them down and made reports and put titles on the front and turned them in. And now we've got to have these 21st century skills that do some of the same kind of work, but put it out there for everybody to see. So on the wiki page, I was going to start with something I showed last night. But because of something I was able to set up this morning, I'm going to skip right down to what you see is the Mysteries of Harris Burdick Writing Project. How many of you have heard of Chris Van Allsburg, the author? He's the one that wrote Polar Express and Jumanji that have both been made into movies. And I mean, he's just an incredible author, and mainly he's such a great artist besides. Well, he has a book called The Mysteries of Harris Burdick. And the idea behind this book is, has anybody read it? Seen it? Used it? If you teach writing, then you've got to get this book. It's a picture book. Most of it is the introduction that's written out, and then after that, it's just illustrations. In fact, I have a copy of it here. I can show it to you later. And so what's great about this book is every page in it is a picture that makes you want to write a story, which is exactly why he wrote the book. I'll just show you a couple of quick examples. Like here's one page called Under the Rug. The background of this is this author left these at a publisher and then disappeared and never came back, and they love to find stories that go with these. So the title of this one is Under the Rug, and the caption for the picture, which is all they have, is 2 weeks passed and it happened again. And so don't you just look at that and you can start thinking of, okay, so why is that lump under the rug? And what do you mean it happened 2 weeks ago and here it goes again? And what's going on? And what could I say? And so it's just page after page. And the different pictures are from different stories, so they don't go together. So every page is a possible another idea for a story. So one of the great things about blogging is that you make connections with other teachers. And so last year, I start my class kind of hooked up. I mean, you blog with anybody, but there's some classes that I found you start blogging more with because of the kind of comments they leave on your kids' blogs and whatever. And one of the classes that we tended to blog with a lot, again, being on the West Coast, was a fifth grade class on Long Island in New York taught by Lisa Parisi and Christine Southard. And so Lisa and I enjoyed how our kids were interacting so much, and her kids are very really a lot like the students that it sounds like a lot of you have some two language issues, but tend to be have parents that are college educated, where, you know, 50% of the students in my class parents never graduated elementary school, second, third grade, and that was about it. A real interesting contrast between our two classes. So we both knew this book, and so we had the kids write stories on it. And the way that worked is we set this up in Google Docs, and two students in my class were teamed up with two students in her class and assigned one of these stories to write. But they didn't each write their own story. They had to collaborate and write one story. So the way we did that is, if you've ever used Google Docs, if you're, you know, which is basically, for those of you who don't know, it's basically Microsoft Word on the internet. But what's cool about it is, if we're logged in this classroom to Google Docs, and our partners in New York are logged into Google Docs at the same time, when we type, they can see it, and when they type, we can see it. So the kids collaborated that way. And the other beauty of it is you don't have to be on at the same time. We could write something in the afternoon when they were already home, and the next morning they could come in and see, you know, whatever my students had added. But then we got this idea, let's use Skype. So we each set a computer up in our classroom. And instead of me telling you about it, let's have Lisa come in and help talk about it. So how many of you have used Skype before? Okay, so, you know, this looks familiar to you. You can ask her when she comes on. Here you go, Lisa. Hi, Lisa, you there? Hello? You can see us, but I can't see her. Where she goes. Lisa? Can you hear me? Hello, Lisa. Lisa.
She might be still asleep.
Well, I made her wait for longer than I told her I would, so. She seemed to come on, though, so I'm wondering what. All right, we'll try that again. Come on, Lisa, where are you? So I'm, All right, she can see us and hear us. All right, she's gonna call us instead and see if that helps. You almost never have, at least I don't, any issues with Skype like this, but every once in a while it will have its hiccups like this. You guys have more here?
Yeah.
Well, I did. It's pretty loud. I mean, I tried it out before. Can you hear us? Hear us, see us? No, huh? Wow.
Supposed to ring when she called
the book? Yeah, it was weird, but
you can get any sound.
Yeah, maybe I'll double check it here. Lisa, are you there?
I'm here.
San Diego. Ah, now we just heard you a little bit. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
We can.
I can hear you.
We can hear you now.
You can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. I'm turning up the volume. So we can't see you, but we can hear you. So I was just telling them a little bit about our project, and I kind of got up to the Google Docs part, and maybe you could share how the rest of that worked.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't know what you talked so far.
I showed them a little bit about the, oh, there you are. We can kind of see you now. I showed them the book a little bit and gave them just a little background in it.
Our project was the Harris Birdie Project, and it was based on a book by Chris Van Allsburg. And basically what the children had to do was write a collaborative Google Doc using, and they worked synchronously. So it worked out really well for us. There were some groups, because there were themed people, and there were some that didn't work synchronously, so it just worked in groups, but we were able to work synchronously. So we worked not only in Google Doc, but in Skype, and I think once we had the children Skype their partners, group seemed to gel much better. But really the idea that you were with a human being and there's somebody with feelings on the other end that you need to consider when
Yeah, that's right. So your connection is still kind of wonky here. Kind of breaks in and out, but we get the idea, and I'll kind of fill in the rest for us. We actually see your image right now, but it's a little bit broken up. So appreciate you coming in, and I think we'll move on from there. So talk to you later.
Have a good time.
All right, bye. So I have a feeling too, part of this is all of you are in here on your laptops and along with 500 other people, and that takes bandwidth. And so that could have a lot to do with it too. I know we Skype quite a bit in my classroom, and you have good days and bad days. I'm sure if you Skype much, you've noticed the same thing. So if you were at our deal last night, some of you saw, I actually didn't show the entire video the kids made, but I showed a video that my students made in fourth grade that the last time I checked off our school server had been downloaded over 500,000 times. And one of the things that I like about all these things we do is they're all things kids can write about. And so we have a class blog. Every kid has their own blog. We use Class Blogmeister. And so anytime we do something like this, the kids are almost always writing about it. You know, I'm always constantly giving them things to write. My kids are language deficient, so I'm constantly giving them rich language pieces to do. And what's great about Skype is students that don't pick their words very well, don't have high vocabularies, are forced to have to think about what they're going to say. Now, I never say, you're going to get up here and talk to somebody right now. I don't do that, but I strongly encourage, and we'll even, and I don't just, we don't just Skype somebody and say, okay, somebody say something. We talk about it first, and what kinds of things might we talk about. If we're doing this to share something that we've done, you know, they kind of had a chance to, but I don't have them write it down, and then they sit there and read it. We've done a little of that from time to time, questions and things maybe they pre-script, but mainly wanted to have to do it off the top of their head. And it's also a great way to evaluate, because boy, early on when we would do that, kids would have those experiences, because when we do it, they tend to come up and talk into the computer because the microphone's built in. And They'll get up there and you can just see the wheels turning, trying to find the words, and start and have to stop and think of what I'm going to say next. And these are kids that consider themselves able to speak English, a lot of them. And yet it's a great way for them to see, oh, wow, I guess I don't speak English as well as I thought because I'm having a hard time making myself understood here. When we did this project with Lisa, some classic things happened. She mentioned how we started the Skype, and that really gelled the whole thing. They had been writing on this for about 4 or 5 days, and then one day we were like, oh, and by the way, we planned the thing over Skype. I would Skype her, she would Skype me, and we'd lesson plan and how things were going to work and the whole bit. So we were in kind of constant contact as much as you can when the time zones are 3 hours apart, which I'm sure you guys never deal with that. But we got to a point where we started to Skype, and as soon as you can see a body on the other side that you're working with, it just changes the kid's whole outlook on the project. All of a sudden, they knew this kid. They knew the name before, but now they know what they look like, and they talk to him. And so what we would do is, as they were writing, because the other thing we did in the Google Doc is, and the kids figured this out on their own. They would say things to each other in the doc like, hey, why don't we write questions and our ideas in green, and you write in blue, because you can pick what color you write in. And then notes that we take together we'll do in a different color. And that way we'll know who's doing what. And we did put up a template of sorts that had the kids have to brainstorm different parts of the story, characters, plot, scenes, and all those things, and kind of gave them questions to have to think about. So they would start coming up with characters. Let's have a kid named Joey that's 12 years old, and he has a little dog, and his little sister is 6, and somebody would come back, what if we make the little sister 8, because then, and they'd have some reason for that. It gave you a chance to have a conversation with the students. Don't just say, I want to be 8 because that's what you want. Have a reason for that, and that makes sense, as you know, how kids can be. They just want to make a change because it's their idea. And so it kind of forced them to not be that way. And we had a couple of minor issues during it. She had a student in her class that had some, I'm trying to think what that's called, some issues, and he started to erase whatever my students wrote. It was 2 students in my class, and then just because things didn't pair up exactly, this one student in her class, and he would erase what they wrote at one point. The beauty of Google Docs is, for those of you who have used it, what did we do? Just revision. You go back and you found the version of it right before you erased it, and you just brought it all back. And so that we talked about that on both ends then, just another 5-minute, 10-minute lesson about ethics and why you wouldn't do that. And the next time they came on, he apologized to them and realized that that wasn't cool. And she said, he was a kid that likes it his way. Well, that's not my idea, and it's done, and so he'd make it go away. So, and it was a great experience for my students to see, wow, here's again somebody that's kind of different and has their own, and yet we worked it out, and it's okay. All over Skype and Google Docs. So last night I was showing inclusion, and this is probably not something that you will end up having to do or wanting to do, and in some ways I hope you don't, but this is why you want to know a little bit about a lot of different kinds of tools. As I think I said last night, sometimes you buy those big tool sets, a big socket set or something, and a little suitcasey thing, and throw it in the trunk of your car or whatever, or just have it. And there's always a couple things in there. You think, what the heck is that? And it's not a tool I've ever seen. I don't even know what it is. And then someday you might have a need for it, and then you're glad you've got it. So lots of times you have tools that you're maybe not sure what they are, but they're there. And then when you need them, it's nice when you've got them. And that's what I think a lot of this is about, is you don't necessarily have to be an expert on things. In fact, I am really not an expert. I'm not a huge techie person that knows everything about, how all this stuff works. I won't tell the whole story, but 2 years ago at the NET conference in Atlanta, David Warlick came and sat down next to me as I was working on my blog, and he looks over and he says, "You write your blog in Microsoft Word?" And I thought, well, yeah, that's, you know, because he's got some, and then I found out all the other bloggers, they write it in blog software that may be interested in it. Shoots right to your blog, where I was cutting and pasting everything, you know, and a couple other issues came up like that, and so people had a good laugh at my expense. Part of that's because where I am, there's not a lot of teachers anywhere like me that I can bounce things off and see how they do things different and that kind of deal. So if you're thinking, oh wow, there's no way I could do this kind of stuff, and yeah, you can. I mean, Skype is easy. I showed my students how to do it once. And when they were in fourth grade, students that don't have a lot of, I mean, some of them have cell phones, but they're not big texters and stuff because their parents don't let them because they don't, they have the lowest end, you know, plan, and they text, you know, three times and they start getting charged for it. And so, you know, they're under strict rule. We do allow cell phones at school, but only if they're off and they're in your backpack. That's the school district policy. So a lot of kids have them nowadays because parents feel like they're safer then. But they're under strict rules not to have them out or even turned on. They're there for an emergency. So 3 years ago, in October, I got called down to the office 15 minutes before the bell rang in the morning. And teachers at my school know if you're being called down to the office 15 minutes before school starts, what's about to happen? Anybody have a guess? You're going to get a new student, brand new student. You're going to get a new student that day 15 minutes before the bell rings. And oftentimes they're just letting you know that, and the student walks in 10 minutes after the bell rings, or a half hour or an hour. Sometimes you get kids at lunchtime get called down, oh, you got a new student. Got one that year in the middle of the afternoon during, I was out on duty at recess, and they brought the kid out and introduced me out in the middle of the playground. So those things happen. Well, I got called down, but I wasn't due to get a new student. I had, at that point, 27, and the next, there were two other fourth grades, and the biggest one besides mine was 24, and they tend to try to do that so things even out. So I'm thinking, what's going on? And I get down there, and they say, well, we're giving you a new student. But don't worry, because you'll probably never see her. Well, she has leukemia, and she's undergoing chemo and radiation, and she can't come to school. And we have this program where they bring a teacher and send them to her house, but by law, she has to be registered in her neighborhood school, and they just moved, and so this is it. In fact, this girl was considered homeless, and they were temporarily moved in with grandpa, temporarily for, and it ended up over 2 years. And so, you know, she's just gonna show up on your class list. You don't have to mark her absent or anything. And the first thing that popped in my mind was, because I had Skyped twice in my life before then, and that was during the previous summer, was, well, I wonder if she has a computer at home. And so I started asking questions and found out that no. And so we made some phone calls, mainly our school counselor, who jumped right on it. And to make a long story short, it took from October until close to the end of January, but starting the end of January, we started to Skype her into class every day. Well, every day she could do it. So, which was usually Monday through Wednesday, because she got 7 hours of chemo on Thursday, which was during the school day, and then Friday she'd be wiped. So she wouldn't come in. But, you know, what a great experience for us, what a great experience for her, because otherwise she was sitting at home where there were four adults living who all chain smoked. She was sleeping on the couch in the living room and was mainly home alone all day, even though only grandpa had a job. And not a real great situation. I showed the short version of this last night. I might not show the whole thing here, but we'll give you an idea how this looked. This, by the way, is a link.
We found out on that Celeste one day when our teacher had us imagine and write about what it would be like if we couldn't see our friends or go outside and didn't feel very good.
We came up with ideas about how someone could help us feel better about our situation. Then Mr. Crosby told us about a student that had been in our class for over a month.
He explained that he had been called to the office one day and told that he had a new student, but he would probably never see her because she had leukemia and couldn't come to school because of the chemo and radiation treatments.
Mr. Crosby mentioned to our counselor, Ms. Marlowe, that there was a free software called Skype that allowed you to see and talk to someone using a webcam on the internet, and that maybe we could include Celeste in our class that way.
She loved the idea and made some phone calls and got people to donate the computer and internet connection.
Skype software is actually used to do what is called video conferencing. In other words, seeing and speaking to someone over the internet.
Here's how we use it.
In our classroom, we use a wireless laptop computer.
A webcam. We taped ours to a tripod for stability.
And so we don't get feedback, we plug a microphone and headphones in too.
At Celeste's house, she has a computer with a built-in camera.
Just click on the Skype icon to start the program and log on. Click on the name of the person you want to contact and you're Skyping.
Here's the video of the first time Celeste tried to attend school via the internet. Would it work?
Sure. How you doing?
She had a wig on.
Yours okay?
So at this point that day, we spent the next hour.
Show how we start a typical afternoon in a fifth grade classroom.
We spent the next hour brainstorming everything that went in for that to happen. And then all the kids blogged about it. And it was her first blog post. She finished it, and at that time, she emailed it to me on our Google Mail account, and then I posted it for her. After that, she was able to do that herself. And that original post she made, at one point, it was up to almost 8,000 reads, and then on Class Blogmeister, which is the blog software we use, it got zeroed out. Everything got zeroed out, and then since then, it's gone back up to over 4,000 reads. She has comments on there from China, every continent, really, from teachers, students, etc. At one point, she got really sick, got an infection, you know, which you just really don't want to have happen when you've got leukemia. And she wasn't doing really well. In fact, at one point I was told she was close to death, which depends on who you talk to. But she bounced back and was able to come back. And so this allowed her to come to school every day. Now you can see in this shot, her head would show up on the laptop about the same size as the other kids in class. And the reason that we had the eyeball camera attached to a tripod was in my room I have tables like these. And I usually sit four kids at a table, and she just belonged to the group in the front. And so if I have an active board in my room, so if I was teaching a lesson, we just have that turned face up here, and I teach the lesson, she could raise her hand, I could call on her, and then if I said, okay, now I want everybody in your group to discuss that or work that problem or whatever, we just put that tripod around and turn the laptop around, and she just became part of that group. Kids could talk to her, she could talk to them. They could decide, depending on what the activity was, they decide who's going to do what part, and then it might be quiet for, you know, 4 or 5 minutes while everybody worked, and then let's come back together and discuss what we found out, or just whatever we were doing. Obviously she couldn't use manipulatives, you know, with them, but, you know, we could send manipulatives home with her sister. If I knew the math lesson the next day or whatever was going to need that, and she'd have them right there, and she could do it too. Skype actually sent a camera crew out last October and spent the day. They set up in our classroom, hung lights in the ceiling and everything. And even though Celeste was in our class at that point, she showed up for school about 3 weeks before the end of fourth grade. They had her stay home that day. And so they shot in the morning in our classroom and then picked up all their equipment, went to her house and shot all afternoon there, and then made like 3 or 4 versions, about 3 to 5 minute versions of this video that they use to show educational value and using Skype. So wow, you know, really top notch. I'll just show you the rest of this one section that you're seeing now. My kids will almost pay money to watch this part. They love it because, I'll back up a little bit. Every part of this was designed by the kids in class. Each group was given a different hook of this video to do. We brainstormed it on our active board. Then we broke it down into one pit. The first version would have been, a 3.5-hour epic. You know, Steven Spielberg would have had to have come in to shoot it because they were including everything, So then we broke it down to, again, the story elements. What do we really need to tell people? And we actually, it's a little bit long because we decided as a class it was important not just to show how we, that Celeste was there, but how do you do that so people could see that and see it was really pretty easy. The kids came up with that. I thought, you guys are right. We should put that in there. It's going to make the video a little longer, but as long as we keep it as short as we can, that's probably okay. And I get feedback all the time from people that say, yeah, that's one of the good parts about it. But this is the part that they wrote that, one group kind of set this all up. And
all right, Celeste, how you doing?
Good.
All right, okay, everybody, let's get to work. Hey, you guys are all supposed to be typing your stories. What's going on? Let's get to work here. Oh my gosh. Celeste, not you too.
Sorry, Mr. Crosby.
All right, let's all get to work.
So you can see how sharp that really was. Some days not as good as that, but so that kind of gives you an idea. What comes after this? This is where I stopped it last night. But if you go to look on it online, and again the link's on the wiki page, it keeps going after this, and three kids get interviewed. Celeste talks about what it's like from her end, and what this meant to her, and then two kids talk about it from there. I mean, they say things like, well, at first I wondered, would she like me? Things like that, just like you would a new kid in your room. I mean, it was an incredible experience all the way around. So, that's not even, again, you're probably not going to have that experience. So you're thinking, well, I'm not going to use Skype for that. But there's lots of other ways it can be used. Anybody know who Grace Corrigan is? How many of you have heard of Krista McAuliffe, the teacher in space? She was the teacher that was killed when the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded on takeoff. Grace Corrigan is her mom. And when this class was in fourth grade, a friend of mine who's trying to start a Challenger Center in the Reno area, when those astronauts were killed, a foundation was started in their name. And one of the things they've done is they're trying to get a Challenger Center set up in every state. And then they've got all kinds of space activities and going to Mars things and whatever the kids do. And they were making this big push, and Grace Corrigan goes around and goes to cities where they're trying to do this and volunteers her time and goes and talks to the mayor and all these different people to try to get that, and business people to get backing for it. But whenever she does this, she insists on getting to visit one classroom and having kind of an intimate situation with one class. So he said, well, I thought of you right away, Brian, because I know you do this Mars thing every year. And so would you be interested in that? So I said, oh, heck yeah. And I said, now we could put you down in the multipurpose room, and then we could have like the fourth and the fifth and the sixth grade come down. And he said, no, she won't do that. She won't even let you bring another class in, because she just wants that one classroom and just be in one class and whatever. And I said, oh. I said, would she be okay if we Skyped her out so other people could, listen in? Now, for those of you that maybe aren't aware of this, on Skype, you actually have some choices. If you're going to video Skype like we did, it's one-to-one. After that, it's audio Skype. But you can audio Skype up to 100 people at once for free. I contacted Lee Baber, who unfortunately died this summer, who's a teacher in Virginia, taught 7th and 8th grade in Virginia, and we had done a couple things before, and so I said, Lee, I've got Grace Corrigan coming, I'll explain who that was. Any reason you'd want to be part of that? Heck yeah. So we set up the Skype. She contacted a class in New York City that they've been doing some work with. They got on. People in Texas got on. And so the beauty was, as she did this live, all those people could hear. And what she did was she came in and she did about 50 minutes of just talking to the kids and telling them about her daughter and what it meant. And we did. I set up a camera and videotaped that. So you can actually go online and see the video. I'll just give you a little idea what it's like. The sound is low because the microphone was, well, the camera had the microphone on it. It was pretty far away. But this is, you know, the gist of it here. Let's skip this ahead a bit. There we go. You can't hear. Can I pull the plug? There we go.
Presidents and kings and important people like that that made history. It was all of us that made history. You know how very important you are? You are. Each and every one of you were very important. And that's why she wanted to make sure that you got the best information you could from learning as much as you could. Because when you grow up, you're going to be running this world, aren't you?
So you get the idea. Again, the sound is great. By the way, if you watch this off the internet and put headphones on, you hear just fine. And I've even boosted the sound. Somebody's told me there's a way I can boost the sound even more, and I'll have to do that. But there's actually two videos. This section where she's talking to the kids, and then she switched over and she said, you know, I'll do questions for 20 minutes or so. And, you know, like an hour and 15 minutes later, she was still taking questions. My class had spent the day before scripting out questions because I didn't want the, what's your favorite color, you know, and questions like that. And so we really talked about what was important here. We had also been given a heads up to not ask questions about, you know, how did Krista die, or do you think she felt pain, or, you know, and stay away from that. However, when the eighth graders in New York started asking questions, they kind of went there. But she was fine with it and handled it great. But now, look what you've got. You've been able to share this experience without there being, you know, anything major in the room that's, you know, in her way or whatever, and she was fine with it. We were able to, you know, just like we're doing now, I put my iPod up, and so there's a podcast of it. We were able to videotape it like this, so you can go online and watch the whole thing. And then you could have been part of it live, asking questions, whatever. And I would think in this area, where all you come from, where the time zones are, you know, doable, think if you've got some great guest speaker that's come to your classroom, and you could share it out to your buddies, you know, in Bangkok or, you know, wherever, and your kids could come in and ask questions. Script them ahead of time, be able to ask questions that pertain to something you were studying. So here's another way Skype comes in and really leverages what you're doing in your classroom, okay? So guest speaker, send them out to the world. Then, which time do I have? Am I already at the end of my time? Also on the wiki, you'll see George Mayo's eighth grade class, and he's in Maryland, but I can't know what city he's in because his school district will not allow them online to say where they are. But he contacted me one day because he said his kids had made these, it was an eighth grade GT class, gifted and talented. And there was about 14, 15 kids in the class, and they'd been paired up and tripled up, and they had made these 2 and 3 minute videos in iMovie on moral of the story kind of stories. And they illustrated them, and they were the kind of things where, remember Captain Kangaroo, or what's the thing on PBS where they read stories, and and you know, they just take the illustrations and move them, you know. And so they did that kind of stuff. They did have a couple parts that were kind of semi-animated. And so they wanted feedback on how those were, and they were excited about it. They were posted on the net, but how are they going to hear back? I mean, kids like that. I mean, they want to hear how they did. And so he said, wow, would your kids watch those? And then we could Skype into you, and your kids could talk to my kids about how that went. So here again, here's my class that, by the way, doesn't make AYP some years. You guys know what that means? AYP? Oh, so under No Child Left Behind, you have to make annual yearly progress, showing that you're improving all the time. So we were on a year when we hadn't made annual yearly progress, and here's this GT 8th grade class from Maryland that wants feedback from us. I mean, do my kids get pumped? So they're important. Boy, they've got to watch these videos and take notes and be ready to tell these guys what they liked, didn't like, how maybe they thought they could have made it better, and whatever. And these kids listened to everything my kids said. Thanked them at the end. I mean, it was, and then they had watched the inclusion video and talked to my kids and had a zillion questions. Hey, how did you do that? And how is she doing now? And so here's what just blew us both away. When George Mayo said to us, you know, we tried to do this with we're attached, kind of like this place is. The elementary school next door, our walls touch. And we wanted to do this with, you know, like a fifth grade class, sixth grade class over there. But because of our schedules, and when they go to lunch and we go to, and when this class is scheduled, we could never do it. So to do this, we had to Skype 2,500 miles away to you to do the same thing. So here, because of scheduling, you know, Skype made a connection 3 hours apart that allowed kids to talk and discuss things. Great language experience for my students. Again, having to find those words, how do I explain what I mean? You know, I can't just say, it was nice. It's not good enough. What made it nice? You know, you get to have all those conversations with your students. My kids got to see really high quality work done by these guys. Why would you want your kids to see, just to speed things up, because I think I'm going over time. My 14-year-old daughter's on the freshman volleyball team. And so one of the first things the coach told us he was going to do, and he hasn't done it yet, it's coming up, is he every year takes the high school volleyball teams to watch the University of Nevada, Reno college game. Well, why would he do that? Why would he take them to a college game?
Pardon? So you can aspire to it.
You can aspire to it. What else? So you can see what a real good game looks like and how hard they work and how they're in the right place when they're supposed to be, and it gets them all fired up. I mean, I can see that. Why do you take your kid to, you know, if they're a baseball player, to go to baseball so they get to see how that works? So again, my kids get to see how other kids think, how other kids do things. And like Lisa's kids got to see my kids kind of struggling with some things and were able to help them out. The classic was when a boy in my class, when he was Skyping with his partners in New York, said, hey, could you guys start toning down the vocabulary in the story? We're having a hard time understanding what you mean. And I just happened to be walking by when he said that, and I said, Everett, no, you don't want that. They're doing you a favor. This is your story. You better understand what it means. And he said, you know, you're right. That way, I'll have to learn words I'm not familiar with. Oh, and he got it right away. I didn't even have to finish my sentence. And so, what an experience for my students to be pushed. Two boys that got teamed up in my class. You know, after I thought about it, I thought maybe I should have looked for a different team because they were kind of about the same level. They do okay, but anything that was past pretty simple vocabulary was just, and these kids were using figurative language and, you know, old sayings. Like, my kids don't know, you know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away or anything like that. So they'd have a character saying something like that, and my guys are, what? And you'd have to stop and explain it to them, or they'd have to ask them during the Skype, what does that mean? And, you know, they become teachers to each other.
And again, some of the conversations they'd have about what their lives are like. And Lisa would have to talk to her kids about, yeah, but you got to remember, a lot of Mr. Crosby's kids, they speak two languages. So, you know, I tell my kids all the time, that's a big problem right now. But when you graduate high school and you speak two languages, how many of you can write Spanish? You know, and I get to say, how many of you can read it? So that's going to be even better. Right now, it's making it tough because they go home, nobody speaks English, you know, so they don't get that stuff at home. People at home don't know how to do school. You know, you drop out of school in second grade, you never learned how to do school. I mean, here's a very telling part of this. We used to do a big sixth grade graduation every year, and we'd have the biggest turnout of any school event we did. And the second time I saw it, I was saying to the teacher next to me that had been at the school at that point about 8 years longer than I had, man, look how the parents turn out for this. And she turned to me and she said, Brian, this kid that's graduating, your family has gone further in school than anybody in that family ever. Oh, yeah. This kid's graduating sixth grade, and it's like a big deal. It's like, we'd look, you know, some of us would look at a kid graduating college, and he's the first person to, this is the first person in his family to graduate elementary school. I mean, so you can kind of see where we're coming with. So I want you to think about how you can use some of these things. I mean, it's easy to do. I mean, hopefully, usually easier than this when we don't have 500 people online at once. And by the way, I don't know if you get wireless cards here, if any of you have that. Skype paid for me to have a wireless card for a year. I have to give it up in January. It's going to be hard. It's great to have because I can Skype over that. In fact, I'm looking at Skyping some field trips back to people. Being up in the middle of Lake Tahoe on this research ship, you can go out and they drop the disc down to see how clear the water is, and the kids take the temperature of the water and they check for what's chemically in the water and everything. So imagine I'm sitting up there in the middle of Lake Tahoe, and depending on, you know, what the time zones are, I can Skype our experience out to anybody. People could ask the scientists on the ship questions, you know, from wherever they are. So think about those kinds of things. You know, your buddies that teach in a different country, what field trip could they take that your kids could be part of? You know, you have to start thinking that way because that's where we're going. And having kids being able to think about, oh, wow, I could do that, and I could Skype, or I could make a wiki page, or I could blog about it, or, you know, I think that's where we need to start going. These are those 21st century tools. And even if our kids are doing really well right now, and I know a lot of your students do, they tend to be at the top of the heap, very highly educated parents, are we really preparing them for what's going to happen when they hit college and get out? You know, you kind of a whole new world. And so just want to leave you with starting to think that way. Kind of push yourself a little bit. What are the implications of this? My kids write like crazy because we blog and we do this kind of thing, and they write and write and write. And when you blog, it's out there for the whole world to see, so it better be right and it better be good. And same thing, and we blog a lot about what we Skype. So lots of language, if you've got second language learners. I left out the part where some of my kids that year didn't speak English, but they still wanted to have a speaking part in the video, so what did that force them to do? They had to learn their part, and they had to pronounce it well. We've got kids over there with their hands in their kids' mouths showing them how to make the words, not because I told them to. They just figured out if I'm going to do it. They're bugging the ESL teacher that pushes into my room for 40 minutes a day if she can meet them at recess. They never do that kind of stuff so that they can practice saying their line. And so you heard it just went from one kid, so every kid in my class had at least one line in that. And you could hear some of them mispronounce words a little bit here. One of them said, Celeste has a computer. What was the word she kind of bungled? You could hear it a little bit. But they're really focused on saying those words right. And what was the rubric? We had to be able to understand what you said. And so we could record that, play it back for somebody that wasn't there, you know, on the other side of the room. What did he say? Okay, good. We'll use that one, and then you cut and paste it into the video. So lots of language pieces, a lot going on there. My blog is Learning is Messy. You can look it up. It's blocked in China, so I've only been able to write to my blog since I've gotten here by going to Flickr, because on Flickr, if you have a blog, you can click on a picture, and one of the options across the top of the picture is blog this,
and if you set it up. And so all I've had to do to be able to post on my blog is do that, hit blog this, and if I write a blog for that picture, it shows up on my blog, but I can't go and look at it later or anything right now. So it's kind of like, you know, blogging blindly. But and I have to get feedback on Twitter. Did it show up? So I'm sure you guys do that kind of thing all the time. So thanks a lot for coming. If you've got any questions, I'll be around. You know, I've got a card if anybody wants to know how to contact me, email address, or I'll write it up here. Feel free anytime. I wish the time zones worked out better. I've had people from here, Jeff Utech for one, and other people Skype into teacher classes I'm doing in the evening, that the school day. Well, New York could possibly work, but the West Coast where I am, there's no way. So, anyhow, thanks a lot for coming, and have a good rest of the conference.
This and all Learning 2.08 podcasts are released under a Creative Commons 3.0 share alike license. To learn more about the Learning 2.08 conference, visit our website at learning2cn.ning.com.